Lord, we thank you for your presence here, Lord, and we thank you for being with all those who are away, Lord, Brother Bob and family traveling, many others who are away traveling, Lord, be with them and help all the Sunday school classes, Lord, the lesson up here to be a blessing to the adult class, and then the teenagers downstairs and all the young people, Lord, bless them and the Sunday school lessons there as well. Pray you be with everybody who is still on the way here, Lord, keep them safe traveling, and thank you for taking all the sickness from our midst, Lord, and we love you. Thank you for all your blessings, and thank you for helping Brother Wade ministering for us also today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, there it is. Okay, so I'm going to do a little review of my last lesson, first of all. And that last lesson, I had been talking about divine healing. Kind of stepped aside from my love lesson series for a little while because the Lord laid that on my heart. And so just kind of do a quick overview of what I talked about last time. Brother Branham from the Queen of Sheba, he said they're all Christians. As long as you believe, that's all right. The minute you begin to think that you're not, that's the time you start sinking right there. That's the time your testimony is negative. Divine healing lasts just as long as your faith lasts with it. Your salvation the same, because everything of God is by faith. Nothing of God can be proven by natural. So just remember that. Keep a positive confession. Don't sign for nothing the devil brought. Refuse to have it. Refuse to see it. Okay. Just a few more of those slides. As I was with Moses, Brother Branham said, you believe it, it's an impossibility for you not to be healed. Let me repeat that. It's totally impossible for you not to be healed if you believe it. To me, if you didn't have any other scripture or quote to stand on, that's firm enough to stand on for anything you need, any promise of God. I'm not sure why this is not taking up the whole screen. It seems like it's kind of like not really full screen. But can y'all see it in the back okay? All right. So far, so good. We come to Christ for salvation. This is just a comment from me. Still having temptations and failures. Keep going. Believing and confessing that you're saved. Likewise, we come to Christ for healing. And still have symptoms and bad doctor reports. Keep going. Confessing, believing, divine healing takes time. Salvation takes time. Resist the devil and he will flee from you, but not right away. He's persistent, he's perseverant. So we likewise have to be persistent and perseverant. So from perfect faith, we're to have perfect faith in this perfect word and resist Satan. Another very powerful comment from Brother Branham. Keep believing God no matter what happens. Real love produces confidence, trust, and faith that God knows what he's doing and he'll work out the promise in his time. All right. I don't have this in my notes, but if you want to follow along in Hebrews chapter 11, I just thought last minute about reading this passage from Hebrews 11 verse 8. If you have your Bible, you're welcome to follow along. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and he went out. And this is a key here, not knowing whether he went. That's going to tie in with my lesson for today. Not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because he was she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead. So many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seaside innumerable. I'm going to skip on down to verse 15. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to return, to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. For he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises of offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting as he was as, that God was able to raise him even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. I was thinking about what Brother Wade had preached on, I believe it was Wednesday night. You know, we're not we're of that group that's going on, you know, not to be left behind, not to stay behind, but going on to the promised land. And that means we need to pray, we need to seek God with all of our heart, and keep on going. So this love lesson is number 13, your love story. That's what this one is about, your love story. So throughout the Bible, God worked in the lives of Bible characters. They lived their normal daily lives, like Abraham there, not knowing whither they went, not knowing exactly what they were doing, but God was leading them, and he's doing the same to y'all today, to us as the bride. That's my whole point today. They lived their normal daily lives, not realizing that God was ordering their footsteps, writing the story of their lives as they lived them, making them living examples to reveal part of his character. All this is about the glory of God, to reveal his character. Now, don't think I don't believe in free choice. I believe in free moral agency. God makes things happen in your life. He puts things in front of you. He leads and guides you, but he knows your choice. So predestination is based on God's foreknowledge of your choice, of what you'll choose here. So it's his foreknowledge that he knew what you would choose. So it goes back to what you decide today. Today is the day of salvation. So don't think I'm saying that God is making things happen, like forcing you into something. It's just that he knew before all this started what would happen. And he can put the right books, the right people, the right church, the right song, the right prayer, the right thought, whatever he needs to in your path to lead you in the way you go. God orders the footsteps of the elect. We still make a choice. So he still does the same thing today in our lives. That's our love story. So as my title is here, that's what I'm referring to, is your love story, meaning God's redemption to you personally, how he drew you, how he called you, cooed to you even while you were still a sinner. The benefit of seeing your love story is that you will be encouraged, realizing your life has not been random, but planned by God. So Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. I think I taught this lesson up here years ago called The Great Playwright, maybe a couple years ago. And this is roughly based on that same theme. So if you see any slides repeated, I drew a lot from that because it's kind of along that same lines. So you're not having a deja vu if you see any repeats. Many times our love story, written by the same author as those in the Bible, replicates those in the Scripture. So this is not always. It won't always be exact, but you know, God can do things that's not written in the Bible, but at the same time, the same God that wrote the Bible can relive those stories in your life, and I love to see that. And I think everybody here has seen that at some point in your life. If you'll meditate, if you'll think about your journey, think about that crazy, weird thing that happened that you think when it happens, I've always tried to avoid this thing, Lord, and now it's happening. Why? You know, and you go to meditate on it and you think, well, maybe there's something to that. Think about the bad things even that have happened in your life and you just wonder why. Sometimes just think about all the people, places, things, times, events, and everything involved with it, and you'll begin to see this, these stories in the Bible repeat. So here's some examples. There's tons, but kind of just a few examples I put together here. Brother Branham, this was quoted recently. I think a couple preachers recently quoted this story about the Memphis, Tennessee woman that she said when Brother Branham's plane got grounded and he went walking and he found this woman, and she said, "I's that type of woman, that Shunammite type of woman, and then you're the Elijah." Well, anyway, that was a repeat of a story in the Scripture, and it relived modern day. Brother Branham's life stories, why did he even tell his life stories so much? You know, he told his life story over and over again. And if you go back and listen, there's so many things that replicate Scripture and stories in the Bible. I want to say probably a lot of people have had a Mark 4 trial. You remember Mark chapter 4? I didn't reference it to make sure that's right. I believe that's the place where Jesus was on the boat with the disciples. The sea got stormy. I believe it was at night, and the sea got stormy, and he was asleep on a pillow on the back, as if he didn't care. And they got afraid, so they went to wake him and said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" He rebuked them, and then rebuked the winds and waves. He rebuked them for their unbelief. And how many times have you seen that in your life, maybe when you're going through a trial, and you say, "Lord, don't you care that this is happening? Where are you at? Why are you not here? Why are you not working?" And then he'll come, if you're really paying attention. He'll come in and rebuke you through your daily Bible reading or through a preacher behind the pulpit and say, "Now, why didn't you believe me? You knew I was there. You knew I was in control. I was just waiting to see what you would do." And here he comes and he rebukes the winds and the waves. That happened. I've testified about me and Gabby with Iva dying at 3 days old. At day number 2, I went out of the hospital and said, "Where are you at, Lord?" That's literally what I said. That was me waking him from the pillow on the back of the ship saying, Lord, carest thou not that my baby's dying in the hospital? But we're going to the Bible study anyway. We're going to serve you anyway. And then at 2 o'clock the next morning, Sunday morning, we met that doctor, and she said, your baby's dying. Right before that, I read 1 John 4, and that was my rebuke. It said, he who feareth is not made perfect in love. And then the doctor says, your baby is stable. She's dying, but, you know, right now she's stable. And I later realized that that was my rebuke and me acting out like the disciples, calling out, Lord, carest thou not? My baby's dying. And then my rebuke in the scripture, and then Jesus calmed the winds and waves. The doctor said, your baby is stable. And she never had to have any more the surgery they were going to do. They didn't have to do it. They didn't do anything different down there, same medicines. They told me she turned around on her own. That's what they said. That was God taking over the scene. This Mark chapter 4, we relived it. How many of you have relived a Goliath story? You're facing some big giant in your life. It can be lust, temptation, sickness, all kind of Goliaths we face. And then just like David, we take that sling and that faith and we attack that Goliath. You know, so many times we've faced a Goliath. Elijah and the widow Zarephath, I think is how you say it, recently preached here. I don't remember who was talking about that. One of our ministers was preaching about that. Elijah and that widow. And I think they told a story of some woman in India who relived this story and didn't even know it was in the Bible. She lived it. Same God working. Even if you don't know that particular story at that particular moment, it's the same God. The same playwright. Now, I'm going to see if I can skip ahead here. I'm not sure exactly how to do this. Hold on. I've had this on. I got to work out. Me and technology got to get along. We don't get along so well. Because I thought I had these in order. The love story applies to each of us. Christ came looking for you, his bride, through time. But he found women flirting with worldly wisdom, carnal things. Going to the backside, this is the format, okay, of the rest of my lesson, basically. Talking about the story of the armor meatpacking boy and what Brother Manuel called the ranch bride. I like that title he gave her, the ranch bride and the armor meatpacking boy. So going to the back side, he found those who were willing to take on his mind and character, not swayed by the wisdom of mankind. Okay, so which group are you? That you have to answer that question for yourself. Are you one of these flirty girls that's going to flirt with man's wisdom and knowledge and ideas and be easily swayed from one side to another, like Pliable, the character in Pilgrim's Progress? Downstairs, I've been going through Pilgrim's Progress with the teenagers and been talking about Pliable. Ironically, when I was talking about Pliable and I can't remember his name, whatever his name was. Brother Bob was up here that same Sunday talking about that same sort of thing in 1 Corinthians. And I went back and listened to that. I said, at the same time, we're talking about the same thing upstairs and downstairs. But which one are you? Are you that pliable one that can be swayed back and forth? Are you the Christian in that Pilgrim's Progress that's absolutely resolute? You got you're bearing your burden on your back. You're bearing your burden of sin and you're going on anyway. You're absolutely certain that you're going on with the Lord and nothing's going to stop you. I'm not ready for that slide. Sorry again. The way to see this love story in your life is read the Bible and pray every day, then meditate on your journey and look for God in your daily life. This is a method. This works. Okay, I've done this for years. I believe firmly in meditation. Set aside some time every day. Read your Bible. That's most important. But then when you're done, take some time and say, now, Lord, show me where I'm at in the scripture. Let me think about the events in my life. How did I get in this church? How did I get to the message? Some of you were raised in the message, but you had to have a backside of the desert experience too and stop riding pastor's coattail, mom and daddy's coattail. So you met God on that backside like the armor meatpacking boy. You met him on the backside. And I came from the Baptist church, totally random. I mean, to me, it seemed random. You know, I came through it and through a dating relationship and then got introduced to the message. And from then, it's been just the Lord just unfolding it to me. Didn't see myself here. You know, never did see myself as being here from the Baptist church. So many of you come from Catholic and all kinds of different denominations. That's God working out your footsteps, bringing you to where you're supposed to be. And this is a good scripture for meditation. I've mentioned many times, Philippians 4:8. All those things in red, identify each of those in your journey. See Christ working in your love story, drawing you to him. Okay, because they're in order of your journey of redemption. First, you hear about the truth. Then you hear about, you know, it caused you to be honest with God, honest with yourself. Repent, that's just and pure, it's sanctification. Lovely is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Good report, your life becomes a good report to Christ then. You know, your angel, so to speak, can carry a message back. He's acting just like you. Lord, he's acting just like it. He's a chip off the old block. And then if there be any virtue, these virtues in the stature of perfect man, if there be any praise, that capstone. Think on these things. Identify where each of these happen in your life. It can be over a period of 10, 20 years. It didn't have to happen overnight, that's for sure. For most of us, it doesn't. So like the characters in the Bible, you can be fulfilling Scripture, reliving Bible stories, not realizing that you're actually a character in God's great drama. Your life is not a random series of events, but rather very carefully orchestrated, planned, with layers of perfection to bring you to Him. I mean layers. This thing just goes deep. The more you meditate on it, you'll see He's been there the whole time. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He authors it, He's the writer of it, and He will finish it if you'll just keep going. Hebrews 12. Yeah, Hebrews 12. So, we might have been sure that our lives were not biblical, but it's inevitable they are biblical. We are reliving the Bible stories written by the great author of the great love story, Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians, ye are our epistles, written in our hearts, known and read of all men, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. All right. And all those, I forgot to mention too, all those characters in Hebrews 11. I just read one little excerpt from it, but you can read all of Hebrews 11. All their lives are what I'm talking about. They all lived some part and showed some part of the character of God. So here's a remake of that story of the ranch bride and the armor meatpacking boy. So it has a little twist at the end. It's kind of surprising, so just listen. So there was once a boy, age 21, who worked for a meat packing company. Now, this is a true story. He had been praying for a while, for a wife, for some time. He went to a youth gathering where there were many eligible young ladies. Many of the girls at the gathering seemed flirty, and the boy did not like that. So he went to the back side of the gathering, trying to evade flirtatious girls. You know, just boy crazy girls, you know, that's the way they act. And boys do some of the same stuff. Anyway, reaching the back, he met a certain young lady who carried herself quite differently from the others. She dressed very modest, was not flirtatious, but rather backward and bashful. She was an orphan girl who had recently been adopted. She was accustomed to a life of servitude. The boy walked over to the girl and knelt down beside where she was sitting on a rock between two trees. He extended his hand and introduced himself. He said, "Hello, my name is Ryan." Being so bashful, she hesitatingly reached her hand toward his and replied, "Hello, my name is Gabby." That entire story, I mean, almost down to the detail of the ranch bride and the armor meat packing boy, replayed on that day, October 14, 2006, when me and my wife met for the first time. We didn't know the story. I was fairly new in the message. I'd heard Brother Brown talk about it, but it didn't hit me, the realization of what was really happening in that story. I didn't see the significance of it. Gabby wasn't really familiar with it, but it happened. And we were married for years before we realized this happened, right under our noses. All right? And right after we met, the youth in the camp put on that play, as you see in that bottom picture, called The Promise. They played the Cockman family song called The Promise based on that story and acted out that story. After it had just happened on the whole camp in front of everybody, no one saw it. Even us that were in the play, me and my wife, were main characters in the play. We didn't see it happen. Why did God do that? I don't know exactly, but I do know that story is everybody's story because it applies to everybody. Wherever you met the Lord, on the backside of that camp, or on the backside, the back porch, if you will, where you left denominational churches, left the message, ideologies, the, you know, man's creeds and dogmas and ideas, your own ideas and things that were off the Word of God, and you met God, you got along with Him, met Him for the first time. So just like in that story, Gabby and I got married 1 year later in that same town where we met, just like the boy. and the story that our prophet told. So let me get caught up here in my notes. So the story has layers to it. There are so many layers to that story. First of all, it's God's story with his bride. It's the story of the natural story that took place. I believe it's a true story that Brother Branham told, as far as I know, that actually happened, you know, out west, and they of the boy meeting the girl, but also mine and Gabby's story, but also every individual person's story. You know, there's so many layers to that story. It's a wonderful thing. And that's not even in the Bible. It's not a Bible story. It's just, I believe God likes the story because it's him and the bride. So, and then we must each meet him on the backside of the desert. Now, faith demonstrates to the eye of the mind the reality of those things that cannot be discerned by the eye of the body. Faith is the firm assent of the soul to the divine revelation and every part of it, and sets to its seal that God is true. It's a full approbation of all that God has revealed as holy, just, and good. It helps the soul to make application of all to itself with suitable affections and endeavors, and so it is designed to serve the believer instead of sight, and to be to the soul all that the senses are to the body. Matthew Henry. That's from the Bible commentary about Hebrews 11. So just meditate on this through the week as you think about these things and think about your journey. And I really encourage everybody to often, not just every so often. I mean, I don't meditate on my journey every day, but you know, it's pretty often I go back to it and begin to think, now why did that happen like that, Lord? Where were you at in that? So after the first meeting and proposal, the ranch bride started making herself ready. So there was something for her to do. It wasn't just like, yay, he proposed to me, I'm going to get married, and I'm going to go back to my daily chores now. No, she started making time of preparation, doing her wedding dress, you know, staying up, burning the midnight oil, so to speak, staying up late at night. She kept up with her chores during the day, but at night she'd be working, making that dress ready. And that's what we're to be doing. So Revelation 19, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife hath made herself ready. Once we've accepted his proposal, we need to be diligently making ourselves ready. Okay, you musicians can go ahead and make your way up here if you will. I believe that was my last slide. Yeah. So just to review a couple of the things here, our footsteps are ordered of God, and there's definitely, you know, a work of God going on in our midst, and just keep thinking about it and keep dwelling on it, and just don't ever think your life is insignificant. Don't ever think that your life is random, and just give heed to those things and think about those things often. I believe that's all I have for today. So thank you. God bless you.